following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I have been so looking forward to tonight, and I told you last week that one of the reasons was the one that was going to be speaking. And how many of you have been out to Calvary Chapel in Palm Springs, also known as the Bridge? Has anybody ever visited out there? Next time you go to the desert, that's where you have to go. Back in 1981, I was ordained into the ministry. And that was when we planted Calvary Chapel in Desert Hot Springs. But a few years before that, I had met Chuck Woolley, who was the pastor of Calvary Chapel of Palm Springs. But it was called something, it was Faith Center at that time. That's where Joy and I, right after we got married, we went over there and were serving in the fellowship there, leading worship. And of the people, you know, you have a group of people that you would say have touched your life and formed you. And Pastor Chuck Woolley is one of those guys. It showed me grace when I didn't deserve grace, but he showed me grace with a fellowship. He showed me graciousness with God's people. And I am so thankful for you, Chuck. And I asked him if he would come and take the last preaching moment of our resonance series tonight. So would you guys please welcome Pastor Chuck Woolley from the Bridge in Palm Springs.
Before we get into the Word, I want to just read something that I put on Facebook today, and I've gotten all kinds of calls from people that know me, mad at me, okay? So I just put this on there. It said, today marks 4 weeks without sugar, running 5 miles a day, no meat, dairy, or flour, no caffeine. The change has been fantastic. I feel great. A healthy diet, a healthy vegan diet, gluten-free, caffeine-free, sugar-free, and a two-hour workout every day. Now, I don't know whose status this is, but I was really proud of them when I read it, so I decided to copy and paste. All right. Now, I had several people call me and say, why would you do that? We thought you weren't being honest. Would you look at this body? Could that have been honest? Huh? So, anyway, there's a verse. There's. You might want, if you have your Bible, turn over. You can't see out there anyway, so don't turn anywhere. Right? There's a word. There's a word that I really think is probably God's favorite word. And if I were to ask you to speak that word, what you think it would be, we would get a variety of words. We'd get words of forgiveness, salvation, grace, mercy, just a variety of different things. And those are all great, but I don't think that's the word. I think the word that I'm thinking of encompasses all of those things, and it's the word come. Right at the beginning of the Bible, when God created Adam, he said, okay, pal, let's meet every day. Come and meet with me every day. The cool of the day, and we'll talk, we'll fellowship, I'll explain things to you, and on and on and on. Then there was the fall. And after the fall, God's statement was, you know, come back. Come back to me, and let's get this settled, and let's walk together. Then there was the building of the ark and the flood, because mankind had turned so bad, and God was just going to destroy all the evil, all the sin. He found one man and his family, Noah. And Noah spent all that time building the ark, and just when the ark is done, just before it's going to begin to rain, he tells Noah's family, come on the ark. Come and follow me. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to be there for you. And so right at the beginning in Genesis, we see him saying that. Then in the last book, chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, now, God used 40 men to write the Bible, that he inspired by the Holy Spirit, 40 men. And the last one in the last book is John. It's John the Apostle. He's writing this from the Isle of Patmos when he's been banished. They tried to kill him, boil him in oil, but history tells us, but he was a tough old bird and he just kept going, so they put him on this island. And he had this revelation from God. And after that whole revelation, the whole book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, right at the last chapter, just almost the last verses, it's like God says this: okay, John, it's all done. We've said everything, but let's give him one more chance. Let's just say that one more time. And listen to this. Verse 17 of chapter 22, Revelation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So right at the end, it's like, okay, like all right. The end of this concert tonight, we're talking about what Jesus has done for us. And I think God's doing the same thing here in the book. Right at the end, he's saying, hey, let me give you one more chance. You know, come to me. And as I was reading that and studying that, I was thinking about tonight. I was thinking, you know, he says, give them one more opportunity. Write this in the book. And I was thinking that there may be some here tonight that God is saying that to you. I want to give you one more opportunity. Maybe this is that last statement. Maybe you've come to several of these concerts, and maybe this is the first one. Maybe you've come to a few. Maybe you've heard salvation message many, many times. But you've never responded to the Holy Spirit yielding to you, saying, come. We just heard an incredible song that was describing the work on the cross of Jesus Christ. And it is absolutely finished. There is nothing else we can do. But I wanted you to notice something here. You know, so who's doing the inviting in this verse? First of all, it says the Spirit, and the Spirit says come. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince and convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. When you start feeling and feeling a draw towards the things of God, and you're beginning to sense that maybe there needs to be a change, and I've done this long, I'm maybe, you know, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. And what he's doing to you, he's revealing to you that there is sin. He's showing you that your life is bent towards sin. Sin is just doing things opposite of the way that God wants to do them. And then he shows you there's righteousness, or there's a right way to live. There's a right way to choose to live, and that's God's way. And it says sin, righteousness, and judgment. And with the Holy Spirit, we have the discernment to know the difference between what is sin and what is right. And when we make the choices, it's always our choice. It's not by accident, but it's our choice. So the Spirit is working diligently in all of our lives tonight. And I'll get to you in a minute. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about some of you that are just searching and wondering what this is all about. Some of you have made decisions, and it's not a life. It's not a lifestyle. Maybe you yield to the Holy Spirit at a time, and maybe you go to events, but where's the life? Where's the reality of walking with him? I'm on a journey with him now that I realize that everything in my life needs to be centered in Jesus Christ. It must be. It has to be. I can't play games. It's not a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the world. It doesn't work. It's totally yielding to Jesus Christ with every breath, with every desire, with every, you know, inch of our being. It's surrendering to him. By the time I get up in the morning, I'm learning. I haven't arrived at anything. I'm not anything special. I'm just saying I'm on this journey attempting to understand what it means to have a relationship with him, that I can truly die to self and live a life that Jesus wants me to live. And so that's the Holy Spirit, you know, working in our lives. And then it says the church and the bride say, come. And as I'm talking, I'm assuming that you who are believers, that you have been interceding and praying as I've been talking for anybody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus. Because our purpose for being, our purpose for concerts, our purpose for being together, primary purpose, the number one purpose, is to bring the reality of Jesus Christ to the world, to see the kingdom of God expanded, that everything we do reveals who Jesus is. And so the bride says, come. But if we're not doing that, then we've lost our purpose, you know, as believers. Our purpose as believers is not to get, you know, our lives together and do the best that we can and live the best we can. Our purpose as lives as believers is to surrender to Him in such a way that our lives will speak to the world. I was reading this week in Philippians chapter 2 about the kenosis, the emptying of Jesus, where he Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was equal with God, he thought it not something to grasp onto or hang onto, but he emptied himself and took the form of man. And I read that, and I've read it so many times, and I've taught so many times each one of those things that he had to let go of. He let go of the rights of his deity, not his deity, but the rights of his deity. And I thought of all that, but it really hit me this time. That whole section is about what I'm supposed to be doing. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I'm believing that what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to begin to live a life where I'm not grasping on to anything or holding on anything that distracts from me walking with Jesus Christ. I need to learn to say, this is not good. Let the Holy Spirit convince me that this is something that keeps me from my walk with Jesus and my intimacy with Jesus and my surrender to Him. So I need to empty myself. And listen to me, church, as I empty myself, I'm emptying myself. Why did Jesus empty Himself? He emptied Himself so I could be saved. The only way that any of us could be saved was for Jesus to empty Himself, take the form of man, live a sinless life, and offer his life as a sacrifice for us, blood that had not been tainted, a life that had not sinned. It was the perfect sacrifice, the Paschal Lamb without blemish, and that's who He had to be. But to do that, He had to empty Himself of the rights to His deity. And I read that this week, and I thought, Lord, I want to do that. I want You to show me what I'm grasping onto. I want You to show me what I'm holding onto. I want You to show me those things that I won't let go of, because I want to live a life that would truly pave the way for others to know You, that others could watch how I live, they could watch my decisions, they could hear my words, that they would have a relationship, they could come to have a relationship with Him, because I have chosen to not hold on to anything. So I can go into situations, I can go into to times when my life is just, I want it to be about Him. And we fail, and we all fail, I understand that. But that sometimes that can be a cop-out too, to the point where we don't want to fail. We want to be who Jesus wants us to be. So we as the bride should be saying to the world, come, come, come to Jesus. Come and receive Him. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, the church is supposed to be doing that, you know. And then it's all believers. All believers are supposed to be doing that. That's our purpose. Now, who are they inviting? It says, let him who thirsts come. Remember Jesus standing at the well with the gal, and she says, let me draw some water for you. He says, no, that's okay, because the water you draw will be thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I offer you, you'll never thirst again. Well, what's all that about, man? Jesus sat in the boat one day with his disciples in Sea of Galilee, and they just fed the multitudes, and he begins to speak to them and reveal to them who he really is. And he begins with his first I am statement, and he says, I am the bread of life. He that partakes of me will never hunger nor thirst again. You know what that means? That means that there are so many things in the world that you and I seek after, trying to satisfy ourselves, trying to find some kind of fulfillment, trying to find some kind of purpose, trying to find some kind of reason. And so and every one of those things don't satisfy. In fact, they cause more thirst. They cause more hunger. He says, you come to me and you surrender to me. you'll never thirst again. And I believe that. And I believe that's what he wants for each and every one of us. That there would never be a hunger or a thirst, you know, and thirsty. And then it says, and all, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. That's the same whosoever that's in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. So there's that availability of what he wants to do in our lives. And then it goes on, and take the water of life freely. It's totally free. God doesn't want anything from you. God's not trying to sell you anything. I guess here's one of my problems right now. Here's one of the things I really want to, I really believe the church, really believe God wants the church to live in this. We're living in a culture right now that the church is being maligned and ridiculed. The church is being called hate mongers. The church is being called all kinds of things. I want to learn to love in a way that they'd have to know Jesus loves them. I don't want to react to what they're saying. I don't want to respond to their accusations. I want to stand there and love in the name of Jesus Christ, because I believe that's what we're supposed to be doing. I believe that's what we as the church are supposed to be doing. I believe that's our purpose. I believe that's what he's called us to do. And I believe we're in a tough time right now. I believe we're in the last of the last days, and I don't think we have a lot of time. I don't think anything should be of more importance than walking with Jesus and surrendering to him and being who he wants us to be. Let me give you an illustration. We'll close with this illustration. I read this illustration, so this isn't, but I liked it, so I borrowed it. Just think with me now that you're driving down the highway, one of the freeways here, or one of the highways, and you're headed for a certain place, and all of a sudden you miss the turnoff. That hasn't happened to anybody, has it? All right? You miss the turnoff. Well, what does your GPS say? What does Siri or whoever you have, what do they say? Do they get angry with you? Hey, stupid, you just missed the turnoff. No, they just very nicely say, if you keep doing it, then it gets a little rougher, but, you know, they very nicely say, when it's appropriate, just turn, make a U-turn, or adjusting the route, and you can get off and get back on the proper path. Well, I believe there are some here that you're going down the freeway, man. You're on that highway, but you're going the wrong direction. And you know you're going the wrong direction. You're going fast, you're going quick, but it's not accomplishing anything. There's no real peace. There's no real comfort. There's no real purpose. There's no real meaning. There's no real understanding. So there's you're going, but you need to hear that voice. You need to hear that voice tonight that is very lovingly saying to you, come. Come home. Come to Jesus, who will quench your thirst, fill your desires like you've never known before, give you purpose and an understanding and a meaning to live. He wants to do that. And for others of you here, you've made a decision for Jesus at some time, but man, it's not what it's supposed to be, and you know that. I'm not telling anything you don't know tonight, man. You know that. You know there's not a reason and a peace and a contentment of being able to go to sleep at night and knowing that you did your best that day. You know, every night I'm going to bed now and just saying, Lord, I did my best. I made some mistakes. He says, yeah, more than a few, but it's okay. You tried. You did your best. I'd get up in the morning, and the first thing I'm able to say is, good morning, Lord. Here's another day. give it to you. And I want to be able to sign his name at the end of every day. I want to spend these last years of my life, or months or weeks or hours or whatever he allows to give me, I want to spend them doing what he's called me to do. Walking with him, fellowshipping with him. I want to know him more than I've ever known him before. And that's what he has for all of us. He's not playing games. He wants to reveal himself to us. But we've played so many games and we've missed that. And he wants to do something so incredible in our lives that we, above and beyond anything we ever thought. I was married to an incredible lady for almost 59 years. She snuck out about 8 months ago and went home. And I didn't think I could survive. I didn't think I could handle, you know, all of a sudden my life has just blown up in my face. And God has brought me to a place of, he's all that matters. My purpose is in him. Am I still sad? And do I still hurt? Absolutely. But there's a purpose for going on. And that purpose is, you know, maybe just one person tonight to turn your life around and come to Jesus. Maybe the others, you'll come back to Jesus. And then we've accomplished our whole reason for being here tonight. And our whole reason for being here tonight is to make sure, finish this season with one more chance. Come. We call you, come. Father, as we sit before you for a moment, I just ask your Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, that you would speak to your church, you would speak to your bride right now, Lord. That we would be an intercession for decisions being made this very moment. We would be crying out to you. We'd be crying for any in this room, that any in this time tonight, Lord, that don't know you, that we're crying out, come, come. You'll never thirst again. I also pray that you would speak to those of us who know the words, that there's no aliveness to our relationship. Lord, rekindle those relationships. Give us a fresh spark as we surrender to you. Would you stand with me for just a moment, please? I'm not trying to make this easy and I'm trying to make it hard. I'm just trying to discern what God wants to do. Jesus wants you to come to him tonight. I'm going to ask without any fanfare, without any big deal, as we start worship, just move out from where you are. You're coming to Jesus tonight. Come on down here. I want to pray with you. You know, some people say, we don't want to do that physically. Jesus hung on the cross for you physically. Before heaven and earth, we can make a decision and publicly proclaim we made a decision for Jesus. So as we worship, would you come, those that receive Jesus tonight, and those that just want to come back to that place of there's an excitement, there's a dynamic that maybe hasn't been there. You just want to come home tonight. You have the name, but you haven't been home for a while. Why don't you come on down? Let's worship.
every night last year and almost every night this year, I've waited for the moment during the concert or during the preaching when these things started falling. Anybody watch these fall down? I love that moment. And last week, one of them, I think, or maybe the week before, I think hit Sherry Youngward as she wondered who was tapping her from behind. But tonight, as this one was falling and Chuck was preaching, did that speak to you tonight? I'm going to give another invitation tonight. But this invitation is for those who know that you need to be that voice, telling people in our culture, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, to come to Jesus. And you want to ask God tonight for just, this is not cliche, but a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you to be an effective, compelling voice in this generation at this time. I love what Chuck said about, you know, we don't need to be known for arguing with everybody. I mean, a lot of the stuff that is the not so beautiful stuff that's falling all around us these days, and that's not that you ignore it, but just be a voice that's inviting people to the beauty of Jesus. This is what I thought about when these things were falling. Something beautiful is coming down from above. And that's the invitation to salvation. That's the invitation to involvement in what God is doing. I'm just going to call them the bees because I will mispronounce their name. The family that's going to Japan. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go to Japan and invite people to come to Jesus. So I want to pray for anybody tonight that would say, I want to ask God to fill me with a fresh outpouring of His Spirit to just come forward right now. I'm going to pray over you. I want to pray over you. I just felt like as we're closing up our series this summer, and I think the beautiful thing God wants to do is to continue the outreach. The outreach happens as we go where? Out. Say that together. The outreach happens when we go out. Anybody else who wants to kind of cram up here, just come and keep cramming tight to one another, okay? Just make room for some more people. Paul said it, the Holy Spirit's a person, and that person wants to have a deep, intimate relationship with you. Let me see the hands of those who tremble at the thought of actually wading into our culture just a little bit. Anybody but me? Oh, is it going to overwhelm me? It might, but it won't overwhelm him. Overwhelm him. Reach up your hand if that's what you want from the Lord tonight, just an outpouring. Father God, would you just reach people where they stand right now, Father? You want to do something remarkable in us, Lord. You want to do something outstanding in us, Father God, not because of who we are, but who you are. And we just want to be open vessels. We want to be just like a hose, a conduit that you can flow through to love people, Father, through us, for you. And so, Father, I pray right now, as we reach up to you, we say to you, Lord, please, here I am, use me. Say something like that to the Lord right now. Tell him in your own words, Lord, here I am, use me, fill me. Break me of whatever I need to be broken of. Break me of my fear. But Father God, would you do that? Would you break us of our inhibitions? Break us of our fears? Give us more love for people than we could ever imagine that would overcome our fear of engaging with them and speaking the truth, Lord. Let us never again be ashamed of the gospel. Holy Spirit, come upon us right now. Say to the Lord, Lord, I receive. I receive your power. I receive your Spirit. Pour it upon me, Father. I'm yours. You purchased me. All that I am is yours. I will follow. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me see the hands of those of you that are standing here that are 30 years and under. See the hands of those that are 30 years and under. 30 years and under. Amen. Father God, would you just pour something powerful upon these, Lord, on their campuses, Lord, in their neighborhoods, in their circle, Lord. You've done it before, Lord. Do it again. You raised up 13-year-old evangelists that hit the streets and hit the campuses, Father God. Would you do it again, Lord God? And in all of us who think we're too old, Lord, would you just blow that nonsense out of us, Father God, and use us for your glory. Let us become, Lord God, just a local movement of your Spirit that you might, through us, Lord, compel people to come in Jesus' strong name.
Amen. Lord Jesus, every person here tonight, amen, let us be filled with your first love.
Lord. Yes, Father.
First love for you. Doesn't matter what age we are. First love for Jesus. First love. Return to that which you once knew if you're far from him. Thank you for first
love. Amen. I want to call something out. I believe that there are people here that God is going to give you songs. I believe there's people here that God is going to put you together in little groups and take your musical ability, your poetic ability, your artistic ability, and use it as just a demonstration of His love to say something to this generation. One of my favorite things that happened tonight was these three musicians that just impromptu came together with no rehearsal, obviously.
I'm just kidding.
Beautiful. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. So just be saying, God, what do you want to do through me? And when he pushes you, nudges you, go for it. Amen. Father, thank you for a wonderful summer, wonderful summer evenings out here. Lord, would you continue to do that? And so, Father, I want to pray for Pastor Chuck, too. Thank you so much for my brother and really a father in the faith to me. And thank you, Father, that there's no edge that he's lost whatsoever. He's been preaching the same thing he's preached for years. May you continue to use him out there in Palm Springs and wherever you take him. Thank you for giving him to us tonight as a gift to the people of Refuge in Jesus' strong name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take what God gives you and go for it. Thank you, Paul Clark. Thank you for being here tonight, and Michael, and Jeff, and Chuck. God bless you guys. Grace and peace on you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.